Shall we share the grace in fellowship? Because they have finished it. Amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Thank you, Mistress of Grace. That was amazing. Thank you very much. God bless you. Amen. Oh, you don't agree with me? It's very difficult to preach now. I don't feel like preaching. I feel like dancing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. That's what church should be like, isn't it? I said this is what church should be like. We get everything. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. God is concerned about it all. Amen. If it's recreation, you should have had it. If it's spiritual, you should have had it. Hallelujah. Everything should have hit you already by now. Amen. And all the gbonku that is doing you should have fallen off by now. Amen. Amen. If by now you are not moved, then you are dead. Amen. It means you. What you need is a resurrection. It's a resurrection service. Hallelujah. If by now you are not spiritually tuned and stirred up, then something is really wrong. Amen. And for that kind of person, I will give you 21 days dry fasting. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. There's nothing like your presence. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship. Very simple. Hey. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Tell him from the depth of your heart. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for everything. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. No one can take your place in our lives. No one can be who you are to us. We live to worship you. We live to worship you. Worship you, Lord. Thank you for your word this moment. Thank you for utterance, that I might speak as your mouthpiece. And all of us will hear that which you want us to hear. And you'll be glorified. Thank you for confirming even the word also, with signs following. The praise and the glory we commit to giving to you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Hallelujah. Luke 19 is my text this morning. Are you there? So I read from verse 1. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of a crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood still and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God will appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. The Lord bless the reading of his words. So basically, I've been talking about world changes, and primarily in the light of the fact that you and I are called to be world changers. We are called to be influencers. We are called to impact our communities around us. The scriptures describe us in Matthew chapter 5, and it says you are the light of the world. It says also you are the salt of the earth. Things cannot be as tasty as they should be except you are there. The community around you will be dark and be swallowed up by darkness, except that you are there as the light to shine in that community. So the point is that there is a reason why we are here, which we must never, ever, ever forget. We must never forget that we are people on a mission. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Jesus told this parable. The Bible says he went on further. So I read from verse 1 because we needed to understand verse 11 properly, which is why he told the parable. The Bible says that he told the parable. Another one says he added on and told them a parable, meaning that he told the parable to extend what he had been saying when he said to them, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We read something about that in the Bible school this morning, where he says that Jesus Christ came for this purpose, to save the sinners, of whom I am chief, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So again, the purpose for which he came was made very clear. The purpose for which he came was not really about just our prosperity. The purpose for which he came was not really, even though it includes it, about our healing. Amen. The purpose for which he came primarily is that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I have an amen? Sometime someday, it was laid on my heart, and I began to look at everything I saw around me. I began to look at all the, all the advertisements that I saw, all the, flyers that I saw, coming out of church and all of that on churches, not just this church, but churches. And I began to see that seemingly what we were putting out was not exactly what it's meant to be. Amen. Well, let me put it this way. I began to see that perhaps what we were putting out had a tendency for people to misunderstand it and lose the core message, the cocoa. There was a chance that people could miss the cocoa of the matter, which is that the cocoa is that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the bid to do that, we're going to prosper. Can I have an amen? In the bid to do that, we're going to be healed. We're going to be delivered. But that is not the cocoa. Amen. The cocoa is that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he told them that parable, or he began to tell the parable, in order to emphasize. To emphasize to them that this is why I came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he also said it because when he began to tell them about the purpose for which he came, he realized that there was a good chance they were missing the point, and they thought that, you know, what's going to happen is that since he came to seek and save that which was lost, and he was around now, then he's just going to snap his fingers, he's going to zap everywhere, and pew, everybody will get saved, everybody will start worshiping him, the whole world will just turn, and start all that will be happening from morning till night, is that the whole world will be worshiping him, singing praise and worship, and praying all throughout the day, and all of that. He realized that they thought that the kingdom will come immediately. Are you with me? And then he then expounded and told them a parable that no, it's not going to be like that. You will have to do business till I come. You will have to occupy till I come. This is going to be a progressive thing. It's going to be a progressive approach to establishing that kingdom fully on the earth. And in that progressive approach, you will have to do banking till I come. In that progressive approach, you will have to do marketing till I come. In that progressive approach, you will have to do, trading till I come. Are you hear what I'm saying? You'll have to keep engaging in all of the different things that you need to engage in. But when you engage in it, please remember and realize that it is an extension of that purpose, which is to seek and to save that which was lost. So that whatever you do at any point in time, never forget that that is all part of a plan to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I have an amen? You know, in history, there have been two boxers. I'm using the most unlikely example. Two boxers who have realized that. When Evander Holyfield came out of fight, back then, one of his most popular fights, I've forgotten who his opponent was, that he won. You know what he wore on his t-shirt when he came on the ring? He wore Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he beat his opponent black and blue with Philippians 4:13. Are you with me? The opponent thought that he was fighting Evander Holyfield, not knowing he was fighting Philippians 4:13. Just like Goliath thought he was fighting David with his stone, not knowing that he was fighting David with the word of God in his mouth. Are you still there? In more recent times, there's been a man by the name of Tyson Fury. Huh? Unfortunately, he knocked out our brother. You know. But our brother also had no clue what he was up against. When Tyson Fury, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
When he knocked out, what's that our brother's name?
Joshua.
When he knocked out Anthony Joshua, and they were interviewing him, he said, "To God be the glory. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ." I said, no wonder. No wonder. This guy had no clue what he was up against. Are you with me? So he beat Anthony Joshua. He thanked the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought somebody just a week or two ago to fight him. He beat the guy and knocked him out. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, how can he thank the Lord Jesus Christ? But guess what? Listen, those things were televised globally. The people who don't want to hear Jesus Christ, they heard Jesus Christ. In fact, I had one of the broadcasts that covered the thing. The moment they got to where he spoke and he said, I thank my Lord Jesus Christ, they stopped it. And I laughed. I said, it's too late. You have heard it. What is that? Occupy it till I come. So he occupied the boxing space and used the place to flag the name and fly out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God is telling us to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying that in all of the fields, whatever it is, whatever area you're involved in, remember, do teaching till I come as part of what? Seeking and saving that which was lost. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians the 6th chapter. So the mentality we ought to have makes a world of difference. The mentality, so it's not just about the fact that, well, it's the world is going to end now. Jesus is coming. No, it's not coming. And the reason why it's not coming now is because he left us here to occupy all of the different sectors so that we can reach people for him. We are seeking the unsaved so that he can seek them through us. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. He said we are ambassadors for Christ as if God was speaking through us and reaching out to people through us and saying, be reconciled to God. Are you there? So the mentality, therefore, that we must have is that kind of mentality. That's how we'll be world changers. Okay? We won't just be world changers because we are born again. We'll be world changers when we have the right mentality as we engage in the world. When we remember what we are there for. When we remember why we are there. When we remember that this is not just about you. Are you with me? Your business is not just about you. Your, what else? You know, your job is not just about you. Your prosperity is not just about you. It's about the fact that you are representing Jesus and you need to be strategic about what you do and what you say. Can I have an amen? Okay, so look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with high service. Okay, that's common, that's known, Abby. High service. It says, not with high service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the earth. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the last time, for instance, I was then giving you examples. You know, personal examples of how I walk, where I walk, and all of that. And one of the things that I keep in mind is that I am not serving anybody. I don't work for anybody. My real boss is God. Are you with me? And so I know that since my real boss is God and we are on a mission, there is a way that I walk even when I'm not expected to walk like that. I do it because I'm accountable to somebody else. And I do it because I want to leave a witness with the people. But so when they hear and they say, no wonder. And then they can also ask questions along the line. And I've had several people ask me questions. Sit me down and they are the ones themselves who will begin to ask me questions. Why is it you are this way that you are? And then you start the preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, so it's your conduct sometimes that invites the evangelism. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. The person will make you say it. Can I have an amen? I say, how come you are like this? How come you say, hey, you really want to know? I want to know. I will tell you tomorrow. He said, tomorrow has come. You have not said anything. Oh, okay. See me at 1 o'clock. You know, you make the man himself is seeking you and say, I want to know the secret. But you must have the what? Right mentality. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that's what Ephesians 6 is telling us, using bond servants and masters. And it's telling us that you must have a mentality that you don't work. So the bond servant himself is not working for the master. That's what they say. He said the bond servant must remember that whatever you are doing it for God. It's in the service of God. That's the emphasis I want you to have. But whatever it is, whatever job you have, whatever task you have, whatever business you have, you are doing it in the service of God. Can I have an amen? And that's how we're going to change the world. Now, I don't want to go beyond today, so I'm going to tell you very quickly things that you must do or you must have that will help you be a functional world changer. Number one, an excellent spirit. Can I hear you say an excellent spirit? Go to Daniel. I'm sure you know that's where that came from. Go to the book of Daniel. So I want to believe that you are clear about the foundation. The fact that we do everything that we do in the service of God. And we do it in fulfillment of the mission. Which is that he wants people to be saved. Amen. So Daniel chapter 5, are you there? Verse 12, it says, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give interpretation. Go to chapter 6, you see something similar there, verse 3. It says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over what? The whole realm. Because of what? The excellent spirit. Several people have tried to break down what is that excellent spirit. And yes, rightfully so, they have tried to point out that it was about the conduct of Daniel. But I submit to you this morning that it wasn't just the conduct of Daniel out of his own strength and character. It was also an endowment upon Daniel. So that's why I read chapter 5, actually. Chapter 6 would have been sufficient to point out the excellent spirit as a phrase. But I read chapter 5 in order to show you that there were dimensions to what Daniel was operating that were not natural. The enigmas, the interpretation of dreams, those are not natural. You don't learn them. Are you hear what I'm saying? I know that there are people who have, and I had a friend, I mean, who wrote a book on how to interpret dreams and all of that. And I always tell people, no, be careful with those things. There is no textbook for interpreting dreams. Can I have an amen? Amen. So when they tell you that if it's Amala you ate, this is what it means in your dream. If it is pounded yam, this is what it means. If you ate it during the day, in the dream, this is what it means. If you ate it at night, this is what it means. No, sir, there's nothing like that. Oh, can I have an amen? Amen. It just doesn't work that way. So when Joseph had, when the king had a dream and Joseph was called to interpret, what did he say? He said, the king said he had two dreams. In one dream, he saw seven cows. Seven fat cows. And then after seven fat cows, he saw seven thin cows, and the seven thin cows ate up the seven fat cows. Joseph said, that is 7 good years will be swallowed up by 7 years of famine. Then the king said, I saw another dream, and I saw what? Seven corn, big, well, fat corns. And then after that, I saw seven slim corns, and they swallowed up the seven fat corns. He said, that's also 7 years. Corn, cow, 7 years. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So corn means 7 years. Cow means 7 years. So don't try to follow. There's no textbook interpretation to these things. It has to be inspirational. It has to be an inspiration from God that tells you what it means. Can I have an amen? So there's no way you can just follow that. Anyway, so you find out that is an endowment. And we need to believe God for supernatural endowment and giftings that enable you to do things with excellence. That enables you to do things beyond the ordinary. You know, in recent times, I met a gentleman. And I needed to fix an AC in the house that got blown off high voltage. And I asked somebody, look, can you recommend somebody? And he sent this guy to me. So he came. Looked at the thing, you know. One of the first peculiar things I discovered was that this guy was quite difficult to get a hand of. I don't know if that's correct grammar, but you understand what I'm saying. So it was very difficult to get him. And then eventually one day he called me and he says, I hope you don't mind that I'm sorry I failed, I didn't come, blah, blah, blah. He said, I hope you don't mind that I can come after 9 p.m. I said, it's okay, come. So he came. Truly, sometime after 9 p.m. He looked at the thing, blah, 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 blah. He says, okay, I'll come back. I know what it is. You need this, you need this, you need this. This is how much it will cost, and I'll fix it. I said, okay, fine. He came back to fix it another day, sometime late in the night, after 9 p.m. But he did it. The thing worked well, smoothly. And while he was doing it, you know, we're talking, and his phone will be ringing. Say he's coming from somewhere, he's very sorry he came so late, he's busy, blah, 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 and he's just coming from somewhere, as at now, in fact, he's still going somewhere else, and they're still calling him. And he's still telling the person, don't worry, I'm coming, I'm still coming to your house. And I said, you are going to somebody's house to work? He said, yeah, I'm going, I'll still work there tonight. I said, what kind of human being is this one? You know, and then we got talking, because his name was YD. So we got talking, and I started asking, Oga YD, you know, what is this? You know, what kind of person? I said to him, Oga YD, are you born again? Are you, you know, Jesus loves you? So he smiled at me. Then he looked at me and said, Oga, I'm a Christian. I said, tell me something. I said, you're a Christian? He said, yes. He said, you know, he said, when you were asking, I first did quiet, I didn't answer you. He said, because many people hear my name and they think I'm a Muslim. He said, but I'm not a Muslim. He said, I'm a Christian. Born again. I said, interesting, you will have to tell me a story, you know. And then he started now telling me about himself, how he grew up and all of that. And that, yes, he grew up in a Muslim home. That's why it's called YD. He said, but I saw things and I didn't like it, so I became a Christian. He said, but what I have is a gift. That's what I'm talking about. He said, what I have is a gift. And he said, you know, I just see things that people have condemned, they can't fix, and I just fix it. I just know how to do it. So I looked at the man, I said, you know how to do it. He said, yes. I said, see that kettle there. Fix it. I've taken it somewhere else. They had told me it can't work. I said, that kettle there, say you fix it. He said, well, no problem, sir. So he opened the thing. He opened it. He looked at it, he said, I'm coming. I want to get something in the car. So he went out, got something, came back, did the thing, plugged it, it was working. This was 5-10 minutes. I said, hey. I said, okay, YD, what is this? He said, you know, he now started telling me stories. People, fridge, condemned, washing machine, blah, blah. Somebody wants to charge them this. Then he goes there. He looks at it. He says, this is just what we'll do. They say it's a lie. He said, he does it. The thing is working. They're wondering. He said, but many times also, he goes to places. This is where I'm going. He goes to places. And they said, they've offered me money. He said, because the Muslims will start talking to me. They think I'm a Muslim. Then I first keep quiet. I don't say anything. He said, then eventually I tell them, I'm a Christian. Then they go, then they want me to convert back to Islam. He said, they offer me money. They've done all kinds of things. And I tell them, no, I know better. But guess what I'm thinking in my heart? That is a strong witness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a strong witness. Who is carrying that witness about the place? Somebody say, he should change his name. No. No, I like the name the way it is. Because that name will invite conversations. Are you with me? But much more than that, he needed to have that supernatural endowment. In the book of Exodus, we've read that before many times, Exodus 31, God spoke about Bezalel and other people, and God said, I've given them skill in all manner of artistry and creative work. Listen, there can be supernatural endowment that makes your tailoring amazing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we're going to be world changers, you'll have to believe God. You'll have to take this as a serious mission. And say, God, give me inspiration. Give me an anointing that makes me be able to do what I do in such a fantastic, supernatural way that people can't understand it. And then I have a witness towards them. Are you there? If you've been here many times as Pastor Enwa, I told you about the things they can't solve and they call him. What I'm saying now is to be deliberate about using our faith to believe God for such things. Be deliberate and believe God for it. It's not just enough to believe God for a car, believe God for money, believe God to endow you supernaturally. Are you there? So that when you do things, people are amazed, and then you can speak to them and tell them how come you can do the things you do the way you do them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, in 1 Kings 10, the Queen of Sheba came. She came to see. Let's go to 1 Kings 10. Let's read that. First Kings 10. Are you getting anything yet? You know, the supernatural can work in many dimensions. One day I remember, this is not necessarily about the supernatural gift or anything. But I remember I had a homework. You know, this was primary school, I think it was. I had a homework to do. And I couldn't solve that arithmetic thing. I did it all night. You know when you solve and all your answers are not in any option? You know, I solved this thing. It was not answering to any of my, you know, calculations. And I went to bed concerned about it. You know, I solved it in my dream. I solved it in the dream, and I woke up quickly to write it down. And I was correct. Are you there? There's a man who is known to have built, invented big, big work machines, the tractors and things. I think it's called Algie Lotonio, something like that. And they said he would sit. This guy was a believer. In fact, they said that his tithing was one of the strong things about his business. Became a big-time multimillionaire. And he started off tithing 10%. He said the 90% was more than enough. He moved to 20%. He said the 80% is more than enough. He moved to 30%. He said the 70% itself is still more than enough. God is still blessing him so much. With the remaining, is more than enough. He doesn't need it. Until he moved to tithing 90% and keeping 10%. And he said he was trying to invent something and create this machine to do something, and it was problematic. And the man was just praying and slept on a flight, just slept. And all of a sudden, in the dream, he saw everything. This is what you do. You do it like this way, do it this way, do it this way, and it will work. And the man came up with him, and he told them, yeah, this is how we're going to do it. I'm saying that God can bless you supernaturally with skill and knowledge. Are you there? You know, in Job chapter 1, the devil was speaking, and he said, in Job 1 verse 9, he said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? That he was talking to God. He said, have you not put a hedge around him? Have you not put a hedge around his household? Have you not put a hedge around everything he has on every side? And you, God, you are the one who have blessed the work of his hands. Meaning, it's not just Job. It's not just Job's wisdom. You have blessed the work of his hands. There's something supernaturally happening in Job's business that has made Job to be this blessed. It's not Job's wisdom. So, you know what the devil was saying? God, you are cheating for Job. Are you still there? I'm saying that we should believe God to cheat for us and grant us supernatural endowment and skill. Can I have an amen? Amen. Laban, who was Jacob's uncle, Jacob went to work for Laban. And after a while of working for Laban, in Genesis 30 verse 27, Jacob looked at Laban and he said, he said, you know what? I have discovered by experience that God is blessing me for your sake. That is, he was saying that I have been in this business before you came. I employed you. He said, but since you came, something is happening in this business. I know that you have brought some supernatural endowment into this thing. And something is happening here. I'm getting blessed. And I know it's not anything. It's not my business plan. Is the fact that there's something on you. Are you still there? So I'm talking about the fact that in the mundane natural things, God can endow you in such a way that you do the natural things in the most supernatural way. Hallelujah. Okay, so I said 1 Kings 10. So look at verse 3. So Queen of Sheba had asked many questions. The Bible says she came and asked him many hard questions. Solomon answered everything. So Solomon answered all her questions, verse 3. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, this is what I want you to see, that wisdom that he's talking about. He says, see the house he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their clothing, their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It is a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." What I want you to see is that everything that she was looking at, they are simple things. I mean, what? She's a queen. Remember that. Then you say that you are looking at what? The house he has built. What can he build? She's a queen. She must have come from a palace herself. I mean, you can admire the house, but to say that you looked at the things you saw, there was no more spirit within her means she fainted. That's a simple modern way to put it, to say she fainted. So what could the queen have seen that will make a queen faint? You saw the building. You saw the food. Food. You understand? What do you see in food? What do you see in the clothing of the servants that will make a queen to faint? I'm talking about there has to be something supernatural about this. I think it was a Miss Semple McPherson who was the, if I remember, the founder of the Foursquare Bible Church, built the church Angelus Temple. In the time that she built Angelus Temple, it was the biggest, like Canaan land. You know, it was the biggest auditorium that had no pillars. You know, even Canaan land, when they were going to build that church, that Winners Chapel in Canaan land, it has no pillars within it. And when they were going to build, they told the bishop, they said, "It's not possible. Architecturally, you can't build a structure this big and not put pillars to support it." So when I remember Amy Semple, I remember this one too. So Amy Semple, back in the day when she lived, she was going to build the church building and says it will have no pillars. She drew what she had in mind and said, "This is what we're going to build." And the architects and builders of the day said, "It's not possible. You can't build this with gallery with and all that, and you will have no supporting pillars." She said, "No, that is what God showed me." Aha. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the supernatural involvement. A woman who is not an engineer, who is nothing like that, and she's telling them, "This is how you will build it because God showed me." That's the supernatural in the natural affairs of life. Are you still there? Number two. So number one, we've talked about the supernatural endowment or excellent spirit, as I called it. Number two is develop skill. Develop skill. So again, it's also not enough. There are many believers actually that are putting God to shame. We do things and we don't try to gain the skill requisite for that thing that we're doing properly. Are you still here? That is, if you're going to be a painter, find out the best ways to paint. Study it very well. Are you hearing me? Listen, if you're going to be a drummer, watch, listen on tapes, get books. I never knew that they had all of those things for training drummers. I just thought you sit on the seat and you hold your sticks and you just go back, as it is coming to your mind. I didn't know that there are levels and there are trainings. I thought you could do that with the keyboard, but I didn't know that that existed for the drum as well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you must do it and do it for God and do it in an impactful manner where you can have a witness, a strong witness, then develop the skill, gain the skill, do whatever it takes in order to get that skill. Because we are world changers. If you do it anyhow, you only bring shame. Are you with me? There are many believers who say, "Oh, I'm looking for a job. Okay, what can you do? I'm a painter. When you tell him to paint, and he paints. You know, when you see paint, and you see, you see, without even words, you have seen it before. That's why you're laughing. Without words, you know what I'm talking about. When you are wondering to yourself that, even me, I should be able to, Now, what has happened is that you've thrown away your witness. Are you still there? But when you have the skill, not only do you have a strong witness, doors will open to you to witness to people that others might not get to. Are you still there? Doors will open to you. You know, when we talk about Daniel, so let me start it from Daniel. And I talked about Daniel and his supernatural endowment. But if you look at Daniel chapter 1. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. So whatever you do, what the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, you should what? Do it with all your might. Gain expertise. Get the best knowledge you can. Oh, they say this, we want somebody who can, you know, do X, Y. Be the best one that exists. So that when they have to, they will have to come back to you. They will have to discuss it with you. You know, there are places that you can't just go and, you know, people. There are people that not everybody can reach them. But there are opportunities that God will use what you do to get you into places where the gospel cannot ordinarily get to. One of the things, for instance, strange, one of the things is military operations. Okay, there are countries where the military can, you can't go in with Bibles and whatnot. But when soldiers go in, they carry Bible. You go to Saudi Arabia, you are packing a carton of Bible. You're in trouble. But when the U.S. Army goes, they carry cartons of Bible in there. Are you getting my point? Why? Because they need the U.S. Army. So they won't stop the Bible that is coming as long as the army is coming. So there are places you will enter that the person may not really like this, your born again, but he needs you. Because of who you are, what you do, the skill you have, he wants you to come. He's ready to ignore that Christian thing about you. But guess what? It's impossible to ignore it because you yourself, you personify the Christianity. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Daniel 1:17. The Bible says, as for these young men, God gave them what knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. What I wanted you to note is wisdom and skill in all literature. Meaning that literature means books. Meaning that these guys were studying. So there was, yes, a supernatural endowment. God gave them wisdom in the literature, but they still had to read. Are you still there? You can't carry your textbook to church, for instance, as a student. Put it on the pulpit while the preacher is preaching so that it can be anointed. So that you will pass exam. Actually, what they used to do in those days is that they take the Bible to church for anointing because the exam is coming. Are you still with me? No, the anointing you should believe God for is the anointing to remember what you read. Can I have an amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches the city, they that watch it watch in vain. Now, it didn't say don't build. It didn't say don't watch. He said you will need God to help you in the building, but you have to build. Hallelujah. You still have to build, even though you need God to help you in the building. But don't sit there and say, it's the grace of God. I'm depending on the grace of God. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. He said, it is by the grace of God that I've labored more than they all. So I use that grace to exceed in my effort, to exceed in my application of myself. Can I hear you say develop skill? Let me show you a quick one before I move to the next point. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. You know, recently we had some water, you know, repairs to do also at the house. So they were complaining to me and said the person they had called to fix it, you know, fixed it and he worked for one night and he stopped. So then they called the person. I said, oh, please leave me alone. Maybe you should try somebody else. Blah, blah. So I said, you know, when he doesn't know, he has reached the limit of his knowledge. I said, many people we find around now didn't even do freedom. Once he has been there a little bit, they've shown him this, they've shown him that, he feels that he knows it. And he doesn't want to work anymore there. He wants to be on his own. I said, so now that he has gone on his own, he can do simple things. I said, but the moment the thing does it, it's not that simple. And it brings a little question mark like this. The guy will, hey, he made a job. Hey, come here. Instead of knowing and admitting that he has a problem, he did not gain the skill he needed to gain to the level that he needed to gain it. Are you still there? Because somebody else and the person looked, yes, this, he will do this, will do this. That one fixed it. Everything working smoothly. I said, don't worry. That this one has reached the limit. All that frustration is cover up. He doesn't know. Hallelujah. Please look at your neighbor. Say, develop skill. 1 Samuel 16, verse 16. This was King Saul. King Saul was having problems, you know, psychiatric issues. And they were telling him to find a musician. So 1 Samuel 16, 16. They said, let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, musical instrument. And it shall be that he will play with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. Okay, look at verse 18 now. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing. Can I hear you say skillful in playing? He said he's skillful in playing, he's a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and what? The Lord is with him. So it's not just the Lord is with him. They started off with the fact that, look, this guy is actually skillful. Can I have an amen? Amen. So don't just depend upon the fact that God will just bless you, God will just give you favor. Take the time also to develop skill. Are you still there? You know, at our office, we had issues, financial issues, because we take grants, you know, and we manage grants, implement projects, and you have to report, you know, the finances and all that. Apart from the narrative of what your project did, you also have to report finances. And we had, years ago, we had issues reporting the finances. So we hired chartered accountants. We had problems reporting finances. So one day, one of the partners in the U.S. came and he said, you know what we'll do? He said, do you have anybody who will volunteer to be trained, who is interested in finances? And we will train him. And that person will start doing it. Remember what I said, though? We did chartered accountant, too. Eh? So we had somebody who then agreed and said he was interested. So the guy there started to train him. This was training, not that he went to America for 2 years. So this was training of just you are interacting as you are doing it, and the guy will show him. So he first sat him down, took the accounting software, and then he just showed him this is how you use it, and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll prepare the next report together. We'll do the next one together. Okay, now you do this one by yourself. If there are any issues, you can call me. You know, and that's all the training that was happening. And then this guy did it. We passed. Did it. Everything was going smooth. Then we got grants from other bodies that are not this one. So this one, you can say they are biased. Okay? But we got grants from other places. In fact, one of the places had to call me and said, I've been telling my boss that you people are just fantastic. Your reporting is really good. Where did you train? I laughed. Huh? I'm talking about gaining skill. Are you there? Now, the person that is doing it, you know what he read in school? Chemistry. Chartered accountant didn't do it. He's the one who read chemistry and was trained like that is now doing it. He just gained the skill. His teacher in America is a lawyer. That one read law. Are you with me? But from then till now, there was a time we had to go around agencies in the government, and we get there to assess what they are doing and all of that. And we got there and I saw the accounts people didn't even know the accounting software. They refused to gain skill. Are you with me? So even where they were chartered accountant, the man got his chartered accountancy in 1972. And forgot to update himself. Now they are using softwares. Now he doesn't know how to use anything. Are you still there, anybody? You must develop yourself. Can I have an amen? You must develop yourself. You know, as I said, I need to finish this. But let me tell you this very quickly. You know, years ago we wanted to do one program in a church. We wanted to have this event. So we took a piece of paper, wanted to design and build. This was years ago, 90s. So we do the thing. We wrote the title, the name of fellowship, blah, blah, blah. Presents, you know. We wrote everything out. Then we put box like this, picture of this one. Put box like this, picture of this one. And then we gave it to the printer to go and print for us. You know what he did? He put the picture just like that on the drawing that we did and printed for us. The other 500 copies or 1,000 copies. That's how he delivered it. I say, luckily. I mean, what were we going to do? We didn't have money again. Small group fellowship. Our money had finished. So that's how we distributed the handbill. Just like that. The rough thing that we do. He had no clue that you have to go to computer. You have to go and design. Number three. Wisdom. Wisdom. You need wisdom. If we're going to be world changers, we need wisdom, especially in how we speak. So let's read two scriptures very quickly. Barely just a few minutes ago. Maybe I should just stop and then I'll continue next time. Is that okay? I say, is that okay? Or we just continue till midday? Eh? Okay. Number three. Wisdom. Wisdom in how we conduct ourselves, especially how we speak. Okay? Proverbs 22. All of it ties to what we're saying, which is that we are world changers, and there are certain things we'll need to have in order to make the impact that we're meant to make. Proverbs 22, verse 11. It says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. He who has purity of heart and has what? Grace on his lips. Knows how to talk. Talks well. Okay? When he talks, you are built up. When he talks, he said that person, the king, will be his friend. So doors will open. The king will want to be his friend. I don't know who it was. I was sharing a testimony with me recently about how she works in a place. And he says that she's become counselor to the MD. That because every issue now, because once something has happened, the wisdom with which she speaks, it has become such that the MD wants to hear on every matter, wants to pull her along everywhere she's going, wants to consult her on every matter, including domestic affairs. If you have purity of heart and grace on your lips, the king will be your friend. Are you still there? Proverbs 16, verse 13. It says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. So you have to believe God and you have to train, not just believe God, but you have to train and discipline yourself in the use of the tongue. Amen. So one of the most difficult areas I found where people falter is how they use their mouth. What they say, what they don't say. And when you get it right and you trust God also to help you know when to speak, when to be silent, and when you want to speak, your words are seasoned with salt, the Bible says. When you trust God for that, and you have that, and you discipline yourself to get that right, the king will be your friend. You know, years ago, I was stuck in the airport in Accra, coming back to Lagos in the evening, and then the flight was delayed till, in fact, about almost midnight. But I was there at the airport with this very senior person. So we sat down, we're talking. And you know, when you are stuck for about 6 hours with somebody, there's nothing you won't talk. You talk, talk this, you talk that, you talk this, you talk that. So we talk, talk, talk. I'd known him before. We talked about many different things. Then he discovered that one of the people in his own institution was my classmate. And that person was one of the union leaders. So we talked, you know, about it. And I told him, I said, oh, yeah, we were in school together. Blah. So he looked at me. He said, how come he's not like you? I said, what's that? I said, he, the way he talks and all of that. And they had serious battles until he fired the guy. He said, how come he's not like you? He doesn't talk the way you are. It takes discipline. Are you there? Takes discipline. You discipline yourself and you pray and you pray and you pray for God to help you and get it right. Because if you don't know how to talk, nobody, definitely no king wants you near. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. You know, you'll be surprised how important this is and how effective it is. There are several people, you know, that I've dealt with. And sometimes there are people that call me and ask questions. What should we do about this? I was telling them in my office one day, I said, you know, there are things I can't say. I can't say them outside. I can't tell anybody because it should not be heard. That these kind of things were the things that I know about, you know, and I had to deal with or advise on. I can't say it outside. Are you with me? I said, because the level of influence it bestows will shock some people. But you must know how to use the tongue. Are you still there? Look at Daniel 4. Daniel 4, the king Belteshazzar had a dream. Then they called Daniel to interpret, you know, that dream. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, that is Daniel, do not let this dream, so this was Daniel addressing him and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or his interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and his interpretation concern your enemies. Now, you understand why I read that. Let me say it. Okay? I find it interesting because the interpretation was a very bad one. So he called Daniel, and the interpretation of what the guy saw was not very nice. So Daniel looked at him and said, king, may it concern your enemies. You know, it's a nice intro. You know, he didn't look and say, king, your own is finished. Oh. King, hey, I weep for you. You are finished. You understand what I'm saying? He knew that he needed to deliver this softly. He knew that he needed to show empathy. He knew that he needed to be sympathetic with the king. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, out of anger alone, the king, your own is finished. Mark, I first slap him, if not even cut off his head, before he even gives the actual interpretation. But have you not met people like that? Are you still with me? I've dealt with people who give answers to somebody, and I say, I say, even if you are not going to do it, first come and I say, sir, okay, I'll look into it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, there's a way you come softly, and then you get to where you help the person to be able to assimilate what you are about to deliver. Are you still there? The use of the tongue. Can I have an amen? Amen? So you'll have to be skillful, or you'll have to have a lot of wisdom in the use of the tongue. Number 4, doing good. Doing good. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So it means doing good, it was not the healing. That's not the healing. The doing good is just doing good. Just being good and doing good to people. There is an anointing. The anointing of God is for doing good. Are you with me? The anointing of God is for doing good. Being good to people, treating people good. You need to believe God to be good. You need to believe God for an anointing to ensure that you are good. All this, my anger is just my nature. No, forget it. All this, I just get angry, but I don't mean it. Whatever I say, I really don't mean it. My friend, how many people do you want to explain to? Are you still there, anybody? You know, in 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man by the name of Naaman who was a Syrian general, but the Bible says he was a leper. They had gone to Israel, they had fought war, they had captured people, and he took a slave girl from there. That slave girl, the Syrian must have been good. The Syrian's wife was good to the girl. Are you with me? And the girl herself was good. Because it was now the girl that said to the wife, you know, my master's leprosy can be cured because there is a prophet in our land. She was a good girl. Can I hear you say good? She could have said, is this leprosy that will kill you? You kidnapped me. You brought me here. You will die of leprosy. God will punish you. Are you still there? And you know, my definition of being good is when you are good, when people can be good back to you. So definitely she was not in a position to be good to them because she was their slave. So when you can actually turn around and be good to people that were not good to you, then you are good. Are you still with me? When you get home, read Matthew chapter 5. When he talks about God, the fact that God makes it to rain on both the godly and the ungodly, on both the good and the evil. Are you still there? He says, so you too, be good to the people around you. He says, bless those who use you. Bless and don't curse. And all of that. Are you hearing me? And then he says, therefore, what? Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is being good. Do good to people, irrespective of what they are to you, irrespective of what they do to you. You know, I've met people who also will tell me and try to explain to me why they do what they do. So I said, you know, it just doesn't work right. There's no way you can justify it. I said, so because somebody was bad, you are going to become a bad person. I said, that's very difficult to justify. Nobody has the right to make you bad. Be who you are. Hey, you know, they just be taking me for a fool. Let them continue. But you remain being good. Are you still there? Have you met people who tell you, well, I was defrauded. That's why I have now been defrauding people. Some guy he had slept with several ladies. Got them to be HIV positive. And he was arrested eventually. So he said, yeah, he doesn't care that somebody gave it to him. So he decided he was going to give it to as many women as was possible. Because somebody gave it to him too. So that day decided that he will spread it. Are you with me? Listen, there are all kinds of people that their head are not, it's not correct. So when people also go around sleeping with everybody, you don't know who you are sleeping with. Some people, something is turning their head and their spirit itself. They are not okay. Are you with me? So how can somebody set on that kind of mission? My mission is to infect, not to sleep with, to infect people with HIV. That's my mission. So he's looking and chasing them. Hello, baby. Because he wants to destroy their lives. That's his purpose. Are you with me? But you must be good. So to now tell us that it's because somebody gave you. So what should we do with that? Does that justify the fact that you have spread it to all people? No, you go to jail. I'm sorry. Are you still there? Now take that and apply in other areas of your life. You know, how many times have you also said, well, I'm not going to lend anybody anything again. I'm not going to help anybody anymore. I helped this one. They didn't even say thank you. I'm not helping anybody again. What does that make you? Are you still there? Continue to help people. Or why were you helping people in the first place? For thank you? Was that what you wanted? Are you still there? Number 5, integrity. Let me hand it down. Integrity. You know, when you are good, it has a lot of impact. Let me say that before I say that last one. You know, and I remember there was a late teacher of mine, Professor Lucas, world renowned. But I had the privilege of sitting with him a few times and talking. And this is somebody who's gotten awards globally. There are places named after him around the world. Amazing man. Textbook read by virtually every graduate in this country of medicine. So I was talking to him this time because they were naming a place after him in the University of Ibadan. And he seemed very excited. So I was telling him, I said, sir, what's exciting you? I said, they've named places after you all over the world. More important places. Your name is something. I said, then they named this small something they have here after you. I said, why exactly are you very excited about it? So he told me something I've never forgotten. He said, Iwalafi Fiamma Adugbo. You know what that means? That is to say what? It's your character that you use to marry the girl in your street. So he was saying, you see, all the people around the world can say whatever they want about me, but these ones here, they know me very well. They knew me for years and decades. So if these people here think that I deserve honor, it means a lot. Are you still there? So that you're doing good, your character and all of that will make an impact in your community. You can bamboozle people all over the place, but once they draw close to you and they can be around you for a while, they need to see that you're a good person. Hallelujah. Number five, integrity. Integrity. Can I hear say integrity? You know, there's almost nobody in Nigeria today, including a small child. When you ask them, what's the problem with Nigeria? They won't tell you corruption. You know, even if the child can't spell corruption, he probably can tell you corruption. But if we must make an impact, and we must be world changers, we must be people of integrity. I just say that Joseph's rise to power was not without integrity. You know, so right from when he went into slavery in Potiphar's house, remember what he said when Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him? He said, look, everything my master has, he has placed in my hands. He doesn't even know anything he has other than the food I put before him. It means that my master doesn't even know his assets. All of his assets he has given to me. I manage it. He doesn't even know what he has. And I'm not stealing any of it. He says, so the only thing he has not placed in my hand is his wife. Why should I touch you? Integrity. He had enough integrity by the time they moved him to prison. Even the prison warder said, you are in charge. Anything you say in this prison is law. Everybody must follow what Joseph said. Integrity. So by the time it was time to say, look, there's famine, who will we put in charge of the affairs of Egypt? It was very easy to pick on Joseph. Are you still there? It's an anomaly for a believer to not have integrity. For people to you know, somebody told me and said they went to get a passport. Excuse me, in the passport office. He said, so he arrived very early because we had a meeting that morning. He said, I'll go very early. They will open with me there so that when I'll quickly do what I need to do, collect my passport and come back and join the meeting that morning. He said, so if I'm late at all, it shouldn't be for too long. So when he came back, he was just shaking his head, this country. I said, what happened to you, sir? I said, ah. He said, you know, I was there like I told you. He said, and then before they opened for business, said they started first, let us pray. Then they sang. And then they did prayer. Said when they finished the prayer, they now started collecting the bribes. He said, so you had to tell the lady, say, auntie, are you not the one who led us in prayer now? And you are the same one who will collect the fee that is not the right fee? How do you put that together? Are you still there? There must be integrity if we expect to rise to the top and make an impact. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Remember, we've been talking about world changers. Everything we do business till I come. Everything we do is done in the light of that mission statement. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. You are an embodiment of that mission. You are a missionary. Wherever you find yourself is your mission field. Your pulpit already exists in that business place, in that marketplace, in whatever you are doing, it already exists, and you are meant to use it appropriately. Take your time this morning and just talk to God. Make a dedication to Him. That's what this calls for. To say, Lord, I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a soul winner. And I'll do it also. Also. So we have to preach. All of this doesn't take away our preaching. But I'm also going to do it by my conduct. That's what we're talking about. I'm also going to do it by my conduct. I'm also going to do it by my conduct. How I conduct myself. Doing good. Developing skill. Walking in supernatural endowment. Very quickly, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read you a quick scripture and then I'll sit down. From verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul, or against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you, so even when they are against you as evildoers, they may by what? Your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, conducting yourself right, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So all those who say, well, Jesus is not Jesus, we don't believe, blah, blah. He says by your conduct, you will put them to silence. Everybody will have to accept that there's something about that Christianity that we talk about. Father, help us. Help us to live according to these words. Help us to be the shining light you've made us to be. Help us to be world changers. In Jesus' name.